Welcome this morning. It is so good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. This is a different Sunday. It's Pioneer Club Sunday, and Pioneer Clubs is our program that we have for kids, JK right through to grade 5. It runs on Wednesday nights all throughout the year, and this is sort of our wrap-up Sunday to that. And so I want to welcome you here today. I'm Miss Julie. I am the children's pastor here at Bramley Alliance, and I'm just so excited about this morning. First of all, I wanted to just thank the leaders. We have over 30 leaders involved in Pioneer Clubs, yes. And they give up every Wednesday night, and not only that, they plan, they pray for you guys, and they're amazing. I am so blessed to be able to live life with these people, and just call them my friends. So I do have a few things to say before we get the kids up here and do some singing. Last weekend at camp, we had 12 kids give their life to Christ. And three of those kids were first-time commitments. So that is just absolutely awesome. We celebrate that this morning with three white balloons, because when one person makes that decision to follow Jesus, there is a party in heaven. And so we want to celebrate by just putting those balloons up this morning. A couple of actually awards that I want to give out this morning. Now, some of these awards the kids already know, and some of them they don't. So we had the award for perfect attendance, which I'm going to call those kids up in a second. And we also have an award for it's called the Golden Dustpan Award. Now, this is the award that you want to get. We have two, one for the boys and one for the girls. And not only is it the honor of saying I won the Golden Dustpan Award, which is for the cleanest room at camp this past weekend. You get your name officially on the Golden Dustpan, okay? And we have, this is just the second year we've done this, but you know, you want your name on this dustpan. And it's amazing how kids were saying, like, they were actually, like, wanted to win this. I mean, this is it. But they wanted their name on here. So they don't know who they are, but in a minute I'm going to call them forward. But I wanted to call forward the perfect attendance. And these are kids who all year long they were here every single Wednesday night and participated in all the events. And I know some of them are not here this morning, but they get a... What? Oh, some of them are here. Oh, I get it. I'm like, what did I say? I was funny and I didn't even know it. Look at that. Okay. Come on up. Don't be shy. So this morning, I asked if some of the leaders and some of the kids would speak on why they come to Pioneer Clubs. And so we're going to start with... Okay, Abigail, you're going to start. Come on up. Start with the older and work our way down. Older kids. Yeah, that's nice try.
Hello, my name is Abigail Fink, and I'd like to tell you why Pioneer Clubs and Kids Zone was so meaningful and important to me. Firstly, I'd like to say I love Pioneer Clubs and Kids Zone because I get to meet and hang out with Christian friends who care about me and I care about them. This is really cool because I always have friends who pray for me and pray with me and for me. I also get to pray for them and see really amazing things that God does in our lives. Not only that, but I also get to meet wise, godly leaders who always pour out love for me, and I know that even though I'm leaving PC/KidZone, I know I can always seek them out for love, support, and guidance. So my leaders shouldn't think they're getting rid of me completely. Next thing I would like to mention is that Pioneer Clubs and Kids Zone is fun with a capital F. You get to have event nights such as parent, daughter, or son nights, crazy hair day, and so much more. Also, every week our leaders have fun activities planned, like building birdhouses, baking and sewing, and even going around our community and caroling. We even get to learn important things about God through some of these fun activities. Like when we baked empty tomb rolls, which reminds us that our God lives. I also love the fact that I am able to go to class either on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night with a big pile of questions about God or faith or life and come home with answers. God is so good because he gives my leaders wisdom and patience to answer all my questions. God has truly blessed me by putting Kids Zone and PC in my life and by allowing me to share it with all of you. Last but not least, a question for Chickadee. Chickadee, you have said that it is time for a bird to fly the PC/Kids Zone nest once we have been come taller than you. However, that means I should have left years ago, but you kindly let me stay. So how about you let me stay a while longer since you already broke that rule once? In closing, I am very grateful for all my time spent in Kids Zone and PC. Thank you to all my friends and leaders who have stood by me, shown me God's love, and helped me in my journey this far. I love you.
Hi, my name is William. I started coming to Pioneer Clubs in the third grade. One of the things that I like about joining is that I was able to learn new things, make new friends, and with these friends I was able to talk and learn new things about Jesus. As a result, I asked him into my heart. All of the leaders are fun to be around and easy to talk to. Miss Julie's lessons at the end of the night were always fun to watch, even if they didn't always work. Sometimes I laughed at them and gave us something to think about. My favorite nights were the parent nights, one for moms and one for dads. This year, father-son night was the best one. We got to make Margaret's bus and mom, so we didn't explode it. Also fun to watch. It was great. Then in the year, camp was great. I'm going to say that again because I didn't sound right. At the end of the year, camp is great. A whole weekend with no parents. Crafts, outdoor activities, self-groups to learn more about Jesus. Pioneer Clubs is learning about Jesus, a really great experience. Thank you.
My name is Charlotte, and I'm going to be telling you a little bit about Pioneer Clubs. I started Pioneer Clubs when I was in grade 3. Now I'm in grade 4. There are a few different reasons, why I love coming to PC every Wednesday. The first reason is that I have made a lot of new friends. We have made some special memories and have had lots of laughs. The second reason is our leaders. They are always so nice and make us all feel welcome and special. They show us how much they care about us by being there every week with smiling faces. The third reason is all the fun activities and experiences we do. Some of my really fun and most favorite are mother-daughter night, father-daughter night, caroling. It was so nice to see that we put so many smiles on people's faces, not to mention the milk, the hot chocolate and cookies that we got afterwards. Then there is going to the park, cooking, store night. That's one of my favorite. And of course there's camping. I don't even mind the mosquito bites. My fourth reason is Miss Julie. I love Miss Julie. She is so nice and she always makes me feel excited and involved during catch-up. She's kind and sweet, and I love her jokes. I also...
I'm glad somebody does. That's awesome.
I also love her object lessons, which brings me to my last and final reason why I love Pioneer Clubs. I love coming every week and learning about God and Jesus. Julie and our leaders use Bible stories to teach us life lessons and how much God and Jesus loves us. God and Jesus teach us to accept, forgive, and love each other. And to me, that's the most important thing. I can't wait to see what PC has in store next year. Thank you all for listening to me this morning. I hope you have a blessed day.
Hi, my name is Braden. I have been coming to Pioneer Club since junior kindergarten. So I wanted to explain how fun Pioneer Clubs is. So what is fun you can do is things like going to the park or going to the gym, making crafts, making food, going to camp, making new friends, doing lessons, caroling in December, ice skating, having store night, earning PC bucks to shop, and these are some of the reasons I like coming to Pioneer Clubs. The most important thing about Pioneer Clubs is learning about Jesus.
I'm glad I'm the youngest one to speak. It's a little short for me, so I'll do it this way. Do you know who you are? A child of God, created in His image to do good works, which He prepared in advance for you to do. When we chew on a truth like that for a while, much of life comes into focus. My name is Casey. I have an amazing husband and four young children who mean the world to me. I'm also a high school teacher and get to spend much of the day joyfully molding the minds of grade 9 and 10 students. And on Wednesday nights from September to May, I have the privilege of co-leading an energetic group of grade 3 girls at Pioneer Clubs. When Julie approached me almost 4 years ago and asked me if I would consider being a Pioneer Clubs leader, I told her that I would pray about it. In my mind, though, I thought that there was no way that God would lead me to do this. My twin daughters were just born, and I was still nursing them. Heck, I had 4 kids under 4 at home. They were all in diapers. On top of that, grade 7 is generally the lowest grade that I enjoy teaching. 4 years later, though, here I am, still leading with the help of my supportive husband. My two sons love coming to clubs, and the twins that I was nursing when all of this started can't wait to start Pioneer Clubs in September. I have a few favorite things that I'd like to share with you. Some Wednesdays, I'm pretty tired getting to church. But if you've never worked with Julie before, you wouldn't know that just seeing her smile gives you that energy boost to walk in the room with a huge smile on your face, ready to start joyfully leading your group. And sometimes that energy carries forward into getting my sons to bed after Pioneer Clubs. Number two, my co-leaders I've had the privilege of working with have taught me so much about myself and about love and about working together with people, and that is a gift that I am very grateful for. Number three, I love leading wacky games and seeing girls gain confidence outside of their comfort zones. Number four, I love hearing sincere questions to foundational concepts about our loving God and His plan for each of our salvations. I love PC Camp. It's my, and I have lots of reasons for it, and here's a few. So the first one is it's a lot of fun. I sit a lot during the day with my job, and I get a whole weekend of exercise, which I absolutely love, and the food is great. More importantly, I get to interact with the grade twos at camp and get a glimpse of what my grade three group will be the following year. This year, they were in their room playing hot potato with a pair of used underwear. I am convinced that next year is going to be awesome. The Sunday at camp, when the salvation message is shared, is incredibly special. The best conversations of the year happen when I am, and I have the most amazing privilege of praying with these young women in the most important decision of their lives. I recently read in a Bible study, your greatest influence might be on the children who outlive you. Seeing pictures of so many of you serving in the grad banquet last night and the various youth ministries in our church comes to mind when I think of that quote. It reminds me of how relational Jesus was and is with people. Being relational is what permits those crucial conversations, moments, and actions that will outlive you. Each child in my group is made in God's image. He thankfully reminds me of that all the time. He knew each one in their mother's womb. He has prepared good works for each of them to do, a life that will bring them joy, a hope, and a future. Working with the various children that God brings upon my path is work that He prepared in advance for me to do, and I'm very joyful about that.
So, hello everyone, my name is Eric, but most people at Pioneer Clubs know me as Simba. I've been a part of Friendly Alliance since I was in Scooters. At the time, I was around 4 or 5 years old. So growing up in the church made me feel like I had a whole nother family. My experience through my 9 or 10 years here, I've learned about the story of the Bible, respecting others, and most importantly, our God. Most people think church is boring, coming on Sunday is just to learn. But I think it's a way to connect with God and share things with others. In Pioneers, I was given the chance to learn about a God that I didn't even know was a thing and make friends that I still talk to today. Each week, we would do a different Bible study in which us kids could understand clearly. We would make crafts, food, and fill out our group books. Now being in a youth group, we sit down and study the Bible on an adult level, but still try to have some fun. 2 years ago, I became a leader in Pioneer Clubs. Being a leader always meant something to me, because I used to look up to one of my leaders, Ryan, Julie's son. Although he gave me a tough time, I think he shaped me into the leader I am today. Growing from a child to a young adult here at Bramley Alliance has taught me how to live a successful life through God and find my way through troubles I might have. Coming to these Bible study sessions has really changed the way I act and do everyday things, but in a good way. For example, I used to have a very bad swearing problem, but I was told it was unacceptable and I should stop. With that being said, I try my best not to let my language get to me, and this is how Pioneer Clubs has shaped me to be the best leader and the best person I can be.
Although many of the kids will know me as Stitch, and this is my first year as a Pioneer Club leader, but I went to Pioneer Clubs from grades 1 to 5, so about a third of my life, and I have some very vivid memories from that time. In about first and second grade, we would act out Bible stories in our group sometimes, and I distinctly remember I got to be Jonah one time, and it was one of the most proud moments of my entire life. Just being eaten by a whale. It was a lot of fun. I also really enjoyed all the dress-up nights and event nights, so like superhero night and beach night and all things like that. I remember one year for superhero night, I would always go very over the top with all these costumes, so we got paper baseball bats and I glued them all over my clothes and I was Batgirl. I also remember many of the object lessons, because I always love, and I still love today, analogies and metaphors and things like that. So sometimes they were lessons taught by Julie, other times they were sort of activities that we got to do. And one that I remember, we kind of got to make this pastry. And then we put a marshmallow inside of it. And then once we baked it, we took it out and the marshmallow was no longer in it. And I thought at first that was kind of cruel to do to kids, to take away their marshmallows. But it was teaching the story of Jesus' resurrection and how he was in the tomb and no one opened the tomb, yet 3 days later he was no longer in it. And it's these sort of lessons through the games and activities and stories that stick with me today, because I got to interact with them and be a part of them. I got to be entertained and have fun while still learning messages about who God is, and what he has done and what he is doing in all of our lives. So as I got older, I was able to look back on those messages and really see what they meant and why we did play that game and why we made that craft. PC Clubs helped me sort of develop that relationship with God that I had. So PC Clubs, for me, was an incredible fun night once a week for 6 years, that through the help of my friends and leaders, I got to build a foundation for the faith and hope that I have in Jesus Christ today. Thank you.
Okay, so I know you're anxious to get out there and get some cake, but I did want to finish off with a story this morning. Now, how many of you this morning are pet lovers? Put your hand up. Okay. I grew up on a farm in Northern Ireland, which was pretty cool, and I own my own horse. And as a kid, that's a pretty cool thing. But I never really had a pet. Yeah, that's me. Probably the same height there as I am now, but anyways. I never had a pet. At least I didn't have one that lived indoors. And then when we moved to Canada, I developed all these allergies to animals. And so then I couldn't have a pet. So my parents bought me a goldfish. Yep. And I took care of that goldfish. And it started getting, I don't know if you've ever had a goldfish before, but it started getting like black spots on it. I don't know if you've ever had that before. I just thought it was dirty. So some hot soapy water works well for the children, not for the goldfish. So I thought my pet days were over. But when I got married and I had my boys, and they were old enough, of course, they wanted a pet. And so we did some research and we found a non-allergenic dog. Those things are expensive, just so you know. And we had a pet. I had my first pet. But I'm not really a pet person. I'm not a huge lover of animals. When I used to go to my friends' houses growing up and we'd have sleepovers, and they used to have cats, and that, I don't know if anybody has allergies, but cats, for me, are the worst. Like, yes. Tell you love cats. But we'd lay out our sleeping bags, right? Like, and it didn't matter if mine was in the end or the middle or whatever, and this happened more than once. When we went to go to bed, guess where the cat was? Yeah, it's like it knew. It was right on my pillow, on my sleeping bag. Now, I know some of you are pet lovers, and take, for example, our wonderful pastor and his family. I think they go by the motto, if you catch it, you keep it. Yeah. Including the mouse that they caught in their house one time. Yep, they didn't catch it like I catch mice, obviously. But it became their pet. Now, there are some pets. I mean, look at those faces, right? I know. Kids, do not ask your parents for a pet after the service. I don't want to get emails. But whose heart wouldn't melt when you look at those, right? I mean, they're just, you just want to take one home, right? But then there's people who have really weird pets, okay? Like a crocodile or tarantula, a skunk, pig, kangaroo, and the all-so-cuddly hedgehog, of course. But wait, it gets worse, okay? Try taking these pets for a walk, okay? Now that lion picture, I don't even know if it's real, but it was on the internet, so it's gotta be. So. And finally, there are the pets that fall into the really strange category, okay? Now, if you look at the picture of the horse, I don't know why I didn't think of that. I could have had a pet all along. But a few weeks ago, my son brought home a snake.
Nice.
No, it's not nice. No, it's not. And not just any snake, he brought home a ball python. Yeah. He's the one playing the drums, by the way, if you want to have a chat with him later. But snakes are definitely not my thing. Does anybody like snakes here? I know the Finnemores do. Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. I don't have anything against them per se, but I just don't like to have one living in my house. And did you know those things are nocturnal? I didn't know these things, right? Okay. So that means that they sleep during the day and they become active at night, right? And so Ryan's room is directly across from like my bed, right? And so the first night I'm laying in bed and I'm reading and I'm kind of sitting up and I see this thing slithering up the tank. So now I have to sleep with my door closed. Anyways, a few weeks ago, the Finnemore family were heading on vacation and they brought their dog up. And so I said to Ryan, you know, hey, these guys are pet people. They'd love to see your snake. Why don't you go get it for them? To which he paused. It's never a good thing. And said, no, that's okay. And I kind of pushed a little bit further and I said, no, like really, I think they'd really like to see it. And there was another pause, followed by, well, I don't really know where it is. So there was just some nervous laughter because I thought, yeah, right, good joke. But the Finnemores headed off, and I went inside. And I'm not kidding. This is true. This is my life, okay? My house looked like something had exploded inside, okay? My kids had been inside this whole time, and I knew at that moment this was not a joke, okay? There was a snake lost in my house, okay? Now, I just want you to become a part of this story. I want you to hear me out this morning. We searched everywhere for that snake. No stone, or in this case, couch, was left unturned. And Ryan, at one point, put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, Mom, are you crying? And I'm like, yes, I am crying! There is a snake lost in my house. And to some of you, this would be an adventure, right? Finnemores? Yeah, totally. This was my worst nightmare, okay? In the middle of all this chaos, Matthew, my other son, who's also been helping in the search for the snake, comes up with his phone in hand and tells us that he has the solution. So apparently, if you Google how to find a lost snake in your house, it has happened to other people, okay? So according to Google search, the number one rule, okay, if you lose a snake in your house, don't panic. Too late. And then it goes on to give you some ideas of what you might do. So check everywhere. Thanks. Here are a few ideas of where you might look. Behind and under the furniture, along the baseboards, inside cabinets, drawers, shelves, dressers, and bookcase, inside boxes and bags and around the house, including tissue boxes, backpacks, and purses, inside boots and shoes, or any small, dark places that are good for hiding. I love watching her. Inside computers, in your heating ducts, remove cushions from the couch and check down the sides and back of the furniture, remove sheets and pillowcases, remove the mattress from the box spring, basically strip the bed bare, have a look at the underside of the bed, the furniture, the bed, appliances for any holes at which a creature could get inside, check the entire bathroom, the kitchen, behind the refrigerator, in and under, behind the oven. Basically, everywhere. And if that doesn't work, wait until dark. And lay some traps, okay? Because they come out at night, They suggest you put plastic bags, just if anybody loses a snake, you're going to know, you don't have to Google it. You lay some plastic bags around the baseboards because that's where they tend to go, and you'll hear the crinkling sound, right? Make sense? Okay. Yep. If that doesn't work, okay, put some flour down, and then you'll be able to see the trail. But you see, at this point, I'm not listening to Matthew anymore.
No.
Because I am on my phone looking for a hotel. You see, I'm not kidding. This is no exaggeration in this story, okay? I had the whole scene played out. Have you ever just, like, written the story? I had this whole story written out. Did not have a happy ending. I was going to go to bed, right? I would be fast asleep in my warm, comfy bed. And somewhere in the middle of the night, yep, that snake was going to decide that my bed was the place to be, just like those cats. And then get this, their third suggestion, okay? This is real. You can Google it, okay? If A and B don't work, put out a nice warm mouse or rat. Yeah, not going to happen. And then wait until morning, and all I'm thinking is, that's okay, I'm not going to be here in the morning because I am moving out. But some people have reported that they have found their snake over a year later. Yes, yes. True. And all of a sudden, I heard Ryan yell from his room. And sure enough, he had found it. It was in the tank all along. Can you see it? There is a little, like, part at the top of the tank. So that's like laying on the floor, taking a picture up. It was there all the time. But unless you're laying on the floor, you couldn't see it. Just, I think. Oh my, I think it took years off my life, but I don't love that snake, but let me tell you, I was rejoicing when that snake was found. But we can all relate to something being lost or to losing something. We look for something that is lost because it matters. In this case, to my sanity, it mattered. Jesus would travel around and he would proclaim the good news. And many times he taught using stories or parables. And some of you might recognize this story from Luke 15. It's a story of the lost sheep, and it goes like this. Then Jesus told them a picture story or a parable. What if one of you had 100 sheep and lost one of them? Would you not leave the 99 in the country and go back and look for the one which was lost until you find it? And when you find it, you are happy as you carry it back on your shoulders. Then you would go to your house and call your friends and neighbor, and you would say, be happy with me because I have found my sheep that was lost. I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven because of one sinner who is sorry for his sins and turns from them than for 99 people who are right with God. Now, the shepherd in this story had 99 sheep. And I think that's pretty good. Sheep are not good followers. They're not good listeners. And so 90 out of 100, I thought, was pretty good statistics. But the shepherd didn't think so. In fact, he left the 99 and went looking for that lost one. He went to rescue it. And when he found it, he put it on his shoulders and he rejoiced. I know you're probably waiting for me to say that I put the snake on my shoulders. No. He was willing to leave the 99 in order to bring home that one. The shepherd was willing to do everything that he could to find that lost sheep because the sheep mattered. The sheep had value. He loved his sheep. And this parable, this story, sums up God's heart and Jesus' mission for us. And that is that God's heart is to seek and to save what is lost. That is why he sent Jesus. That is why he was willing to do whatever it took to rescue you. And in this room full of people today, It is no accident that you're here. God is saying to you, I want you as a part of this story. Before the creation of this world, God says, I knew you. I formed you and I breathed life into you. And even though that we are separated by sin, even though you are lost and we wander like sheep, in the middle of your chaos, in the middle of your messed up lives, in the middle of your sin, God says, I did everything to save you because I gave you my son. And he hung on a cross and he took your place. He took the punishment for sin, the punishment that we deserve, because he is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for a sheep. Why? Because God knows you, and he loves you, and you matter to him. His love leaves the 99 to find the one every single time. What kind of love is that? What amazing God. What extraordinary love. That is the life-saving message of Jesus. So that what is lost can be found. But we are like those sheep. Sheep need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. Our shepherd knows us, created us, leads us, and laid down his life for us. He gives purpose and meaning to us. My question for you as we finish up this morning is that a love that you want to know? Is that a love that you want to experience? His love bankrupted heaven for you. His love doesn't consider himself first. His love isn't selfish or self-serving. He doesn't wonder what he'll gain or lose by putting himself out there. He simply gives away on the off chance that one might be found. And I'm going to close off with a prayer. And if you want to know this incredible love, would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads. Jesus, thank you that you love me. What amazing love. That you would lay down your life for me. Thank you for taking my place, for paying for my sin on the cross. I am lost without you, Jesus. I am like a sheep without a shepherd. Forgive me for living for me, and help me to live for you. Today, I put my trust in you. Help me to follow you today and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, would you come and talk to me after the service as we go and enjoy some cake? Come and talk to me. God is so good. He loves you so much. And he wants to find that which is lost.